Good afternoon, everyone. Again, I do want to thank everyone for attending this late in the conference. I know everybody has travel plans and stuff like that, so I know we were kind of squished in here a little bit, so if you want to just spread out a little bit, I think we might have enough room for that to happen. Also, because I like to leave time for Q&A at the very, very end, since we're a relatively small group. If you have questions anytime during the conference, during the session, just raise your hand and woot or something like that, because I don't know if I'll be able to see you or not. But that way we can get a dialogue going rather than a monologue. The slides are actually going to be up online. So, you know, talking to the slides is one thing, but talking about the things that interest you is another. I like putting a copy of the thanks page at the very beginning because it has links to them and things like that. A little bit about myself. I have been very, very heavily involved with the Apache Software Foundation, wore a lot of hats during that time, and also have worn a bunch of other hats with other open source entities and organizations as well. I still consider myself a developer at heart. That is my passion. All the other things are as an adjunct to that area inside there. I've got a couple of awards. I guess been homebrewing now for about 2 years or so, and I have a little treat for people at the very, very end. Not a physical treat, but a virtual kind of treat. And I'm very, very lucky enough to work for a company named Consensus, which is a blockchain Ethereum company. For me, I think the decentralized web is something that we always ascribe to at the very beginning, and it's this is our opportunity to redo it again. I do love LAMP. I have loved LAMP for 24 years. I've been involved with Apache and giving this kind of talk longer than my youngest son has been born. I really think that Apache HTTPD is maybe one of the unsung. Years ago, people knew about it, respected it. Nowadays, people consider it old school and things of that nature. It really does power 35 to like 85% of the web, depending on what surveys you use. And all that does is look at the very, very front. Who's responding back? It's like trying to figure out the size of a law firm when you call the front desk and one person answers. It's like, well, they must just have one employee because that's the only person I do talk to when I get to that. There's a lot of misconceptions about Apache. Some of that was valid, back in the day. Unfortunately, that kind of stuff is hard, is intractable, and it's kind of hard to change the mindset for that. But the big thing is that what I'd like to do is show that during all this time, even though we're only up to 2.4, we have improved drastically. The Apache HTTP server of today is basically, in a lot of ways, unrecognizable from the old HTTP 1.3 server and 0.86 server. But you can see that family resemblance. There are some things that we have kept on because we have a huge user base out there. And what we don't want to do is basically pull the rug out from under them and change drastic things and cause them to have to make major compatibility changes and that things of that nature. These are some of the cool features in 2.4, and I'll go through detail on all of these. I think the big thing to remember is after all this time, we still are fully and completely open source. There are a lot of other open source web servers out there that are maybe open source in license, maybe not so much open source in community and collaboration. We have steadily resisted that. So if you're really, really dependent upon a very robust, supported, open source license and open source community web server, Apache HTTPD is still the web server of choice. The latest version that we have is 2.4.41. My advice to you is ignore the version numbers. Some people see, that as like, they went from 1.3 to 2.0 to 2.2 to 2.4. They really haven't done a lot of work. Really, the 0.41, that's almost like a feature release. Every patch release we do also includes features, security fixes, and things of that nature. So just going by the version number, it kind of like gives you a false idea of the amount of work, the amount of enhancements that have gone on through the decades, basically. Some of the things that we added and have continued to add with the latest versions are to address some of the concerns that we as developers, but also you as users have had. Basically, we really wanted to improve the configuration runtime environment inside there. Unfortunately, the syntax is still the same, again, because we want to avoid people having to recreate usually very, very long, nasty, hairy, old Apache configuration files, and to have them port to a new format or a new syntax would be really, really dangerous, very, very risky. So we've maintained that, but we also have improved it to keep up with the times. We've got new modules, proxy enhancements, performance increases, as well as support for other protocols, and we'll go down into detail on all of these features as well. I won't spend a lot of time on the proxy enhancements because my talk after this is specifically about mod proxy, which is a module and a feature close and dear to my heart. But I will spend a little bit of detail on that. As I mentioned, one of the things that is a common issue or a common complaint about Apache HTTPD is its configuration file. It is this weird semi-XML-ish kind of configuration file that basically we inherited from the old NCSA web server. And because we, at that time, wanted to be a drop-in replacement for that, we inherited that configuration syntax. A lot of other web servers out there have gone fully XML-ish. Some have gone to JSON or something of that nature. We are semi-stuck with this format, but we realize that there are things we can do to make your life easier when you're configuring Apache out here. And I guess one of the biggest things that we've added semi-recently is this new module called Mod Macro, if you're familiar with the C preprocessor and how you define macros inside of there, where you do variable substitution. That's kind of like a flavor for what that is. I actually talked about this module 19 years ago in one of the first ApacheCon presentations that I did for the web server out there. And I just thought it was the bee's knees. I thought it was fantastic. It certainly solved my problem, because a lot of times what you do is you have sections of configuration which are basically almost carbon copies of others, except for some minor server-specific items that need to change or modify. So you'll do a cut and paste, and then you'll select and change and stuff like that. And that's very, very difficult and tedious to do. This allows you to create sort of basically a template. This template right here is called the macro vhost. And we're saying this is what the template looks like. We're defining various variables inside here. And what that does inside of Apache is that it's as if you cut and pasted that many times with that variable substitution inside there. It doesn't make anything different inside of Apache itself. It doesn't make it run quicker or faster or better or worse or anything like that. It's just some nice syntax sugar on top of it to make things easier. The cool thing about it, of course, is that because most of the times these are carbon copies of each other, instead of having to cut and paste or search and replace various items if you change from one server to another or one platform to another and have to do that inside the configuration file, you change the template, you gracefully restart Apache, and all those changes take in. So it makes things as an administrator, a DevOps user for Apache HTTP, very, very nice, streamlines that whole process. It makes it easy to debug things if things do go wrong, because you don't have to check to make sure that you didn't mistakenly cut and paste something outside there. Something else that we've had, and we actually had flavor of this for a while, is that you can actually, again, conditionally pull in or push out various segments of the Apache configuration file depending on environment variables that are defined either as you start Apache or as Apache itself is running. A very simple example right here is that, you know, if we're defining the test macro, then we're, you know, redefining some variables inside here as we, you know, so if we're doing a test, then we want to point to a different location on the file system for our content. If we're not, then we're going to be making sure that we're running in the production environment. We also have the whole idea of now conditional runtime improvements. All that stuff was done when you started Apache. You know, you pull things in or out and things like that. But we realized that that was somewhat restrictive. What you really wanted Apache to be able to do without the weight and the overhead and the headache of mod rewrite is to change its configuration on the fly, depending on requests that are coming in, environment variables, time of day, what host is being is responding to that that request, and things like that. So we actually have the capability now to have the configuration file self-change, and Apache will modify itself depending on what that exact request is. In this particular example, you're seeing that if the HTTP host that the request coming in is for example.com, then we're redirecting to this location rather than that location. You would not be able to do that as easily before with other older versions of Apache. You would be able to do that maybe with mod rewrite, but again, that's something that you want to avoid. Mod rewrite, as cool and as useful as it is relatively black magic. I know Rich has a fantastic, where is Rich? Rich has a fantastic book about mod rewrite cookbook, I believe it's called. So if you're interested in delving into nasty, twisty mazes, then definitely check out Rich's book. In addition to changing or helping the configuration syntax, we also have figured out ways that we want to improve some of the existing parameters and definition and configuration directives inside. Back in the early days, a second-based timeouts were okay. In fact, I remember when Apache shipped with a 30-second timeout and maybe even a 30-second keep-alive timeout. Nowadays, you want timeout parameters down to the millisecond. So now we're able to basically have much, much finer grain control over all these timeout parameters, and mod request timeout actually allows you to change the actual parameters. You know, I want you to wait this long for an incoming request. I want you to wait this long for the first couple bytes of a request, and how many, and this long between bytes. So that way you can avoid things such as, you know, distributed denial of service attacks and things like that, or you can also optimize your environment depending on the traffic and the latency that you usually see. You know, sometimes having a blunt force, you know, axe that says, you know, chop people off after waiting 250 milliseconds is bad if you have overseas that have to go through satellites and things like that. So that allows you to have a much finer grain tool on making sure that Apache is always available for you. We also have some much finer control over logging, which is incredibly useful in those cases where you don't know what's going on and you need to debug things and you need to bump up the logging level. Before, it used to be you would have to put to debug level and you would get voluminous amounts of data, which would just slow the server down because it's constantly pushing that to disk. This enables you to figure out and determine exactly which modules and submodules need more verbose logging, and as well as, you know, at what level you want that logging inside there. We'll talk a little bit more about that as well. We actually have even deeper than debug level, something called the trace level debugging. Again, what's really nice about this is that it's not all or nothing in this particular situation right here. We're seeing that we're just setting the log level for the SSL, the mod SSL module to the warn level. And for anything that comes in that's going to be using or accessing data or content in this situation right here, we want to log it up to log level debug. Anything else, any other content that comes in that doesn't touch anything under that section of the file system will be at whatever the server-wide log level is. So you see right here we're having three different log levels depending on where the server, where the content exists, as well as what the module is doing and what module is actually involved in the interaction itself. One of the things that we did change as well, you may recall that we used to require people to add the name virtual host container. This would be something that says, hey, just to let you know, Apache HTTPD, that all these servers were having the same IP address, but they will be using different server names. At the time, that was kind of like required because of the coding inside of it, but we realized that Apache was smart enough to be able to figure all that stuff out for itself. So that is no longer required. If you do still have that in your configuration file, Apache will start up and running, but it will warn you that it's a deprecated configuration directive. And definitely after the next major version release, a major version release is something that breaks the ABI, you know, between modules and things like that, that will go away. We also have a lot of other cool features that I won't go into a lot of detail about simply because of time. One thing I think which is incredibly nice is that we've always had for a long, long period of time this concept of different NPMs, you know, programming modules, the way Apache will grow and scale, the prefork module, the worker module, the event module. Those used to be have to be compiled, statically compiled into the server. So if you wanted to be able to switch from a prefork Apache to an event Apache, you used to have two binaries. And you would have to take one down and then switch or whatever and then start it back up again. NPMs are now fully dynamically loadable, so you can actually change those as a configuration step and then disgracefully restart, and Apache will then go ahead and start operating under that different NPM rather than the one that was previous running on, which is very, very nice depending on if your traffic dynamics change and you want to switch from one to another. One of the things we also realized, and this is something which is certainly not unique to HTTPD, is access control lists. Everybody has their favorite flavor or method of doing that. And I guess none of them are really, really exacting because it's, you know, really want to be able to determine, you know, what people have access to and also protect what people should not have access to. The previous implementations of this did pretty well, but it was somewhat confusing because it depended on, you know, ordering and parsing order inside the configuration file. So one of the biggest changes inside of between 2.2 and 2.4 has been in redefining and re-architecturing the idea of how you do access control and what it is. And the main directive in this particular situation is one called require. Again, because we don't want to force people to have to change configuration files between version upgrades, we do have mod access compat for backwards compatibility. So if you're still using the old methods and formats with, you know, allow, require, deny, and things of that nature, then that'll work as well. This is just a little snapshot of what the new authentication and authorization modules look like. Basically, we're saying we're requiring all of these parameters to be required for them to have access to this particular directory. They need to be in the alpha or beta group, and they need to not be in the reject group. If you're familiar with how the old ways of doing configuration and authentication with HTTPD was, you would see that that was very, very difficult in the old ways. Mod Lua is not a new module, but it is one that I think a lot more people should be using. Yes, there is you know, concern about server-side scripting languages and whether or not that makes sense or not. But really all this does is make Apache HTTPD into a Lua application server. Doesn't necessarily need to be at the frontier. It can be in the back with your Tomcat application servers and things of that nature. Lua is a fantastic language, very, very fast. In the same way that Perl was sort of like custom-made for the web, Lua is as well. And a lot of the capabilities and features that you look at and see on the Apache website itself, the Apache HTTP server website, but also the ASF website, uses some mod Lua magic. So we'll definitely look into that as well. We actually have other new modules that allow you to change things and modify content on the fly. We always had this little module called Mod Substitute, which did an on-the-fly search and replace. Sometimes that that capability wasn't robust enough. You needed something which was much more of a sed with all the power and the flexibility that sed had rather than a very, very simplified substitute and replace. So we still have that capability inside there now. So again, if you need to change content on the fly at your front-end server from where it's being generated or where it's being pulled from before it goes out to the end user, Mod Sed and Mod Substitute can do that for you. Mod Remote IP allows you to get the real IP address of the client before it goes out to the back-end server, which is incredibly important because sometimes you're doing access control or different dynamics or different content development based on the real client IP address. And when Apache or any reverse proxy is sending the content to the back-end, all the back-end sees is the IP address of the reverse proxy server, not the client. This allows the back-end server, the application server, to get that real IP address and make whatever changes are required inside there. Also, bundled into that module is support for the HA proxy protocol inside there, which allows HTTP to work incredibly well and much more reliably and robustly with HA proxy, should that be something which is required in your environment. Mod Session and Mod Author just make it easier for people who are generating and creating websites and web content. Mod Session allows you to have finer session control between requests that are coming in, and sometimes everyone needs some sort of, you know, authentication form. Instead of doing it one-off for everything, Apache will make a lot of that stuff easier for you and provide that inside there. If one of the things that you want to do is to be able to rate limit traffic that is coming in or out, Mod Rate Limit will allow you to do that so you can prioritize or have some sort of quality of service parameters and SLAs associated with your content by using Mod Rate Limit. One of the biggest things that, again, that I think doesn't get as much respect as it should is the concept of mod caching, of caching, you know, local content inside of there. We realize that a lot of people use it. A lot of people farm off this capability to more dedicated caching mechanisms when they could, you know, in fact, use the caching server, which actually is inside HTTPD. So we've added a lot more capability, a lot more back-end support. So, for example, you can store that caching data, yes, in, you know, on the file system, and yes, you know, in shared memory, but also using Redis, Memcached, Geode, other kind of, customized and also specialized, you know, key-value data stores, which are out there as well. So that really means that the capability and the possibilities are endless by where you're storing that cache data and the robustness of that storage mechanism, which is underneath. Mod Bratly is one that I particularly want to bring out, simply because in addition to a mod decode, which goes ahead and gzips data and then, you know, un-gzips it as things are going on. The idea behind that is you want to save on bandwidth. And, of course, if you can crunch a 100K file to 1K and then send that out, that's going to be much, much quicker response time because the overhead that it takes to do that compression on the server side and decompression on the client side is much smaller than the actual time it would take to actually send that information over the wire. Mod Bratly is an incredibly much more robust, much more crunch-worthy compression mechanism out there, and we have full support for the Bratly protocol. We have done, as I will talk about at the next Prezo, a lot of capability, a lot of additions to Mod Proxy out here. You'll notice that we have support for basically any and every protocol you can think of, whether it's a web native protocol or whether it's a protocol used to talk to back-end application servers, you know, FastCGI, SCGI, UW SGI for Python and things of that nature. Whether you want to do a WebSocket tunnel from between things of that nature. So we provided all that flexibility inside here. Of course, we still include ModProxy AJP, which is the way of having Apache HTTP talk natively via the AJP protocol to Tomcat on the back end. HTTP, HTTP2 as well. ModProxy Express and ModProxy HCheck Express is sort of like if you're familiar with the bulk virtual host container. Sometimes you need a bunch of switchboards. Just as a request comes in, you send it out to someplace else, and you can have like hundreds and thousands of those. Well, instead of having each side of those listed inside a configuration file, instead, ModProxy Express creates a simple one-to-one mapping of as requests come in, this is the backend server it goes to. And because it's held in the database, you can change it, and it'll change in real time. Apache will respond to those changes in real time rather than having to change the configuration file. ModProxy HCheck is basically dynamic health checking of the backend application servers, again, in real time out there. The cloud has been a very, very interesting thing, basically because we're seeing that in the old days when you needed to grow, when you needed to scale, it was all vertical scaling. You got a bigger box. You got more, larger disks, more memory and things of that nature, and that was very, very painful to do. Obviously, with the migration to the cloud and everything like that, horizontal scaling is the norm now. So the things that used to make performance, the catches for performance back in the old days was requests per second in a specific footprint. How much bang for the buck could you get for something inside there? Whereas nowadays, I'm not saying that it's not important, but horizontal scaling is much more achievable where it's really, really painless and you only pay for the little bit, that you're using it. It enables us to look at the architecture of our website and what performance we really, really care about in a different fashion. And in a lot of cases, latency is now the thing that we want to optimize towards. It's not the amount of bang for the buck that we can get, the number of requests per second we can get on the box. It's how fast is that user experience? How fast from the time they send the request to they get a response and the full web experience that we're talking about. And in that case, Apache really, really enables you the flexibility and the freedom to fully utilize that. And I'll talk about that in a little bit out there. Now, certainly, density and requests per second still matter. But if that's the case, then we have the event NPM that allows you to run Apache HTTPD in an event-based mechanism to get as much concurrency as you would want. Concurrency at levels that meet anybody else's web servers out there. But if you alternatively want an environment where you know you're getting the lowest latency possible, then that'll mean that you can have a different NPM that allows you to have that. So with one web server architecture or one web server solution, you have those options rather than a web server which is just event-based or is just threaded-based. HTTPD allows you to choose what's right inside there. So that's basically just saying that this changes how we now operate. This changes how we now want to configure and set up our web servers out there. In addition to that, the changeover, the dynamics of the cloud have really emphasized the importance that whatever changes we implement, as new servers are brought online and we need to like share that load between these nodes and things like that, that information, that change, needs to be something that the web server itself is aware of, recognizes, and honors. Basically, the proxy server itself, as well as Apache itself, needs to be aware that it lives in a dynamic environment, and it needs to be able to provide the flexibility to make the most out of that environment, but also allow you to also make the most out of that environment inside there. So a lot of the things that we've done, you know, with mod proxies, as I said before, added a lot of modules inside there, but also added features that allow us to have different load balancing mechanisms. You know, how do you share the load between the back-end web servers? Do you want to share the load or balance by the number of hits, the amount of traffic or data that's going on? Do you want to do something like a round robin inside there? So we're adding a lot more load balancing mechanisms than what we had before. You're able to change the configuration on the fly and have that change still survive when Apache itself is taken down and started back up again. And sometimes what you'll need to do is also talk to a back-end application server which is on the same server as yours, and for the best performance, the lowest latency, you want to have that communication not using TCP/IP and the overhead associated with that, but just talk on Unix domain sockets. And so ModProxy does allow you to talk to back-end servers with that mechanism outside there. One of the things that I'm really excited about, and I think is a cool feature for HTTPD, is the very fact that we've always had the capability that before we send a request to a backend server to respond or not respond if it goes down, you know, we can check to say, hey, are you up? Okay, I'll send you the request now, or send the request, and if it's not up, go to somebody else. But that was all in process. That was all synchronously done. What ModProxy HCheck does is allow that to be an asynchronous thing. So even when it's not being activated or not being used, Apache on the back end would constantly check those back-end application servers and make sure they're still up, alive, aware, and willing and able to take traffic that's coming on board. This is that mod reverse proxy, mod proxy express I talked about. And you'll see that something like this is really, really useful for environments where you're basically creating an Apache web server configuration that is just there to do microservices. So any request that comes in for here goes to this back-end, request for that server goes to that backend, and it's just a long, long list of one-to-one mappings between request and where the configuration goes in the backend. It's not something that almost everyone will need, but people who do need it will be very, very happy they have it. There is an embedded administration panel that allows you to change configuration files for the reverse proxy setup. Very, very easy to add inside. This is what it kind of like looks like. I actually won't go into a lot of detail with this because I'll show this in the next presentation if you're interested in, but this is sort of like a scenario of how you change configuration parameters on the fly. But basically the idea behind it is you can do that on the fly. It persists, it survives graceful and hard restarts. And it's also server status aware. So if you're using mod status, you can definitely take a look and see what that traffic scenario looks like between Apache as a reverse proxy and what it's talking to on the back ends. Performance is most probably one of the biggest improvements that we've looked at. And obviously, performance is one of the biggest FUD factors for Apache. Apache still has this very, very unwarranted reputation for being very, very slow, being very, very memory hungry and things of that nature. Certainly not the case. There have been a lot of independent external tests and benchmarks and things like that that show Apache performs incredibly, incredibly well, even compared to Apache traffic server and things of that nature out there. Again, the big takeaway is that if you look at the latency value, for example, Apache HTTPD can be incredibly, incredibly fast turnaround time, whereas those platforms that optimize for concurrency, latency is an issue. And we basically also just increased, you know, raw performance, looking at, you know, both the event NPM, but also the worker and the prefork NPM. There are some benchmarks. This is one that I did. I actually have done it a while ago and tried to keep things up to date with the various versions of Apache and Nginx, simply because everyone talks about Nginx out there. That was basically the kind of environment I was looking at, where we're doing a lot of dynamic content and just seeing what the performance is of the two environments and the two scenarios, HTTPD and Nginx. These are the parameters and the benchmarks that I used, and these are some charts inside here. Now, what I'm looking at right here is basically the time it takes to handle the request, how much time it takes to open the socket, read the request, generate the response, and send the response back, and then close the socket inside here. And you can see that Nginx and the Apache with the HTTP event mechanism, NPM is very, very similar as far as performance-wise. There really isn't a lot of variation or outliers associated with that. Again, if the big thing what you want is extremely low latency, but even more importantly, consistent latency, I mean a known quantity as far as how long it takes to handle the request inside here, then looking at the prefork NPM, where you have an actual process dedicated to that that request, obviously because you have something dedicated to it, it's going to be much quicker, latency is going to be much smaller, but you also see that the latencies and the performance are much higher. The overhead and the cost associated with that is much higher, of course, because you're dedicating one process for a request and a response, rather than sharing that load among threads, workers, and things of that nature. But if that's what your environment needs, you now have this capability. This is just another parameter which basically, again, shows that there are no big outliers between the performance between the two. This is the request to response burst using the HTTP perf performance environment right here. Looking at what the lowest, the middle, the medium, and the deviation is between, basically how stable or how much that fluctuates, how that benchmark fluctuates inside there. So you're seeing in a lot of cases, Nginx, again, simply because it's event-based and it's optimizing for that environment, there's a lot more flexibility, a lot more variation between how quickly it will respond, how quickly that response will come back. These are some external independent benchmarks out there. Again, all of this is on the slides, and the slides are going to be up on SlideShare in a little bit, so I encourage people to take a look at it. The main thing I'm trying to say is that, all the web servers are really, really very, very performant, depending on the environment and the use cases inside there. And in most cases, the web server is not your choke point anyplace. So, if you're going to make a change and you're going to make the decision, make a decision that is correct, that fits your environment. Basically, choose wisely and do the tests for yourself. Don't accept my word for it or anybody else's word for it. I mean, see what works for you. HTTP2, which is the not quite the latest and greatest Google version of HTTP protocol, but we fully support that. What's really nice about this is we have perfect compliance with every parameter of the HTTP2 spec that we support, whereas other HTTP performant web servers aren't quite as compliant as we are. A lot of that, of course, is simply because of the library that we use. It's an incredibly good library, but again, it just shows that if you're using HTTP2, using Apache HTTPD is one that will make sure that you're perfectly compliant with the other protocol. Advanced security, we have support for Let's Encrypt SSL certificates using the mod MD managed domain module out there. We support TLS 1.3. Of course, that requires later versions of OpenSSL 1.1. That is it for the slides. As I said, all the slides will be available here on SlideShare as well. I encourage you to follow me on Twitter if you were so inclined. This is my contact information, so if you have any questions after the fact and you can't find me here, send me an email. If you are a home brewer, I use Beersmith as sort of like my tool to help me craft recipes and stuff like that. And in honor of the 20th anniversary of Apache and the ASF, I created the Apache Anniversary Rogan Beer. Rogan Beer is a really, really nice German, really nice beer. So if you're so inclined, I was trying to figure out some way of bringing it, but shipping, a five gallon keg of beer from Maryland to Las Vegas is not as easy as you would think, considering that it's going to Las Vegas. So unfortunately not so. But if interested, do that. Anyway, that's it for my slides. I think we maybe have 5 minutes or so for questions, if you have any questions. But I do appreciate everyone, again, attending. And thank you.
We do have about 10 minutes for questions. If you'll hang on just a second, I'll get a microphone to you. I see one question back here. Hang on just a second.
How's this? A little bit better?
Beautiful.
All right, Jim. Thank you for your presentation. It's by far one of my favorite of the conference.
Thank you.
Had to guess, with 2012 being the first release of 2.4, when is the end of life of 2.4?
When is the end of life of 2.4? You know, we've been talking a lot about what 2.6 or 3.0 means. And there's been a lot of discussion and debate because basically, you know, the biggest thing that would happen from 2.4 to 2.6 or whatever it is that we would break the ABI. You know, and so modules would either have to be completely recompiled, or most probably because of the structures that define the ABI, they would have to be, you know, rewritten. And right now, there really isn't a compelling reason to do that, because most of the stuff that we've included in the trunk, which is destined to become 2.6 or 3.0, 99% of it we can pretty easily backport to the 2.4. You know, there's very, very little that we need to do that would actually require us to break the ABI, to actually break some of those protocol structures inside there. Now, we extend them and things of that nature, which means that you do have to recompile the module, but you don't need a new version of the module. You just need to recompile it so the, you know, the structures grow, and when you, you know, link it in, you don't get any, you know, any weird nastiness inside there. So I guess the answer would be, unless there is something that we really need to add that we cannot easily backport to 2.4, that would be the main impetus for us to go ahead and spin off, you know, 2.6. We do have a 2.6 alpha out there, but again, there's really not anything in trunk that could not be and is not being backported to 2.4.
Thanks, Jim. We have another question over here.
Yes.
A question for you. What do you think about the coded repository for HTTPD?
What do I think about the coding repository?
The coded, CODEIT. They have a distribution of HTTPD.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Is it their own particular fork of HTTPD?
From everything I've read, is the good thing about it is it's always compiled with the latest, greatest OpenSSL, so it's really secure.
Okay.
I didn't know if you had an opinion about it. We've been using it, but I'm just wondering what the expert thought.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we've always, you know, wanted people to do is that, you know, the ASF, you know, not just the HTTP project, but all of the projects, you know, our job is to create the software as well as provide opportunities for external entities to create business models around that software. So if someone is taking HTTP, you know, and saying, this is the value add I provide, is that I will build it, compile it with, you know, and link it with the latest versions of the modules and either sell it to provide support or services for it, that's fantastic. I mean, you know, one of the companies that I worked for years and years ago called Covalent, that was their business model. You know, we kind of like called ourselves the Red Hat for Apache, and that's what we did. You know, so that's something which I fully support. Just make sure that you know, that you get the source and stuff like that associated with it. But having third-party vendors make your life easier to use that, we're all supportive of. Very good question. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Any other questions? Thank you all for being here, and enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you, Neil. Bye-bye.